tricord is happy.
Oh, that's it then, Marina. Looks like the software upgrade is installed nicely. So we should be able to make this week's selection now.
Oh, then I've come at the right time to witness your success.
Oh, more than that, Patrick. You can press the button if you'd like. I just installed an upgrade that should make it run a bit more smoothly.
You continue to solve every problem except the basic one. You keep failing.
Oh, no. No, it's been mostly good stuff recently. You just have to have faith.
Oh, I have a different faith than yours. A more certain knowledge of what is to be and what is not to be.
Oh, well, if you already know what the randomizer is going to pick, then why are you here?
You lack faith in my judgment?
See, Marina? Reverse psychology. You can't beat it.
Your advanced quackery is no substitute for the true faith. Only faith can outface death.
Yes, well, I think that might be asking a bit much of the randomizer, Patrick. So, what have we got today?
A revelation. I've seen the future for us all.
Yes, if I could perhaps just have a look at the selection? Ah, okay. Well, yes, this definitely is a revelation. We're heading back over to Marineville for a very good episode of Stingray.
So are they all.
Oh yes, but this one's extra special. Here's Titan Goes Pop.
Then our job should be done.
I wish you'd go pop.
If you look closely, you'll find I've wired myself as a human explosive.
Oh, really? Not again. So, we welcome back to the randomizer. It's Stingray. We've had quite a bit of Stingray recently, and quite right too, with these lovely new Blu-rays. And, you know, just yesterday I was putting the finishing edits to the randomizer for the Terrorhawks episode Runaway.
And now...
There's a dead puppet in the background there.
Presenting the new fabulous...
I praised Runaway for being a simple story with a very comedic edge. And here we have Stingray doing much the same. With Titan Goes Pop and this wonderful pop star, Duke Dexter. And oh my goodness, I just love the look of this character. I love that he's not like conventionally hunky in the same way that, say, Johnny Spoonara was.
Ever since last.
But he is, I've always wondered if this is Commander Zero, by the way, draped over this television camera. It could be, maybe not. He's wearing a cardigan that I don't think Commander Zero would be seen dead in. But yeah, this guy is a bit more pretty boy than Johnny Spoonara was, which kind of suits him. And we have this very catchy song, actually. Another catchy song, which I was recently surprised to hear. Well, not recently, a few years ago. To see Ray Barrett's name credited for singing this song. And I, at the time, I couldn't hear it as Ray, but now I think I do. And it's a very nice... It's got a very nice sound to that voice, the singing voice. Because he was a singer, as many of the Anderson voice artists were during the Super Mario Nation period. And he's such a forceful presence on stage that amp that's putting out the sound of his guitar is smouldering because he's just so hot and so cool. And you can hear those girls. You can't see them, but you can hear them. And it's just lovely to see Stingray. There goes the amp, yeah. Lovely to see Stingray looking at pop culture trends of the time.
In the name of thunder was that. He sounded like a wounded...
Whatever you...
I love that line. And this.
Thing since the first man on the moon.
He should have been the first man on the moon.
Yeah, Duke Dexter's news.
Oh, dear. And Phones has got a killer line here as well.
When he was playing in Denver, my little niece managed to get a bit of his jacket. The fans just ripped it right off of him.
What for?
I never did figure that out, but I just thought I'd tell you.
Phones just wants to participate. But again, it's lovely to see the show looking at contemporary pop artists and pop culture and drawing inspiration for a story from it.
Now, we all know.
And of course, you think, well, how can you fit a pop star into Marineville?
Duke isn't likely to cross our path.
And it's great that the Stingray characters are clearly thinking the same. Meanwhile, here's a familiar face. This dispatch rider racing to Marineville. It's the Lieutenant Mizen puppet from Marineville Traitor, which was, I think... would have been about 7 episodes earlier.
Oh, there's a rare sight.
So it's nice to see that he's been let out. He's working off his sentence by being a dispatch rider. Mostly against a rear projection screen here, which has a lovely pan through the streets of Marineville, which you don't always get to see as a pan past the hospital. Some bad news for Commander Shaw. Not only is Lieutenant Mizen back, but...
Yes, sir?
I've been summoned to headquarters.
Ooh.
It's a top security matter.
Oh, yes, he doesn't know yet. This is clever as well, because we're led to well, certainly the characters are led to believe this is something serious. We've got to use, you know, maximum security, VIP helicopter. I think, is this the bit where Fisher is tapping out Morse, a new Morse code that X-20 can't crack?
Sure, special helicopter. There's no doubt about it. I'm really onto something big.
It's a good thing I managed to put cameras in every building in Marineville. When did I find time to do that?
Oh, but I love this side of X-20.
But it would take me months to break this code.
We get the impression that he is genuinely...
If only I knew what all this was about.
Conducting proper surveillance off-screen. He's not a total buffoon. He is actually doing the work.
Dexter.
Mander, please. Try and keep your voice down. This must not leak out.
And here we have the WASP commander, or the World Security Patrol.
Okay, Jim.
Thank you, sir.
Officers.
So quite simple.
I think this is the first time we've seen them on the randomizer. This guy, oh, I've always thought, looks like a frog.
Agreed to appear in a show direct from Marineville.
But it was interesting that every time they turned up,
manager said that if the
they'd all swapped voices.
And we must bear full responsibility.
And sometimes, I think there was an episode, it might even be the first one, where one of these characters changes voice during the course of the episode.
Utmost secrecy, just as it's been handled so far. Unless we keep this matter to ourselves...
You could have 1,000 screaming kids at the gates of Marineville.
Don't worry, sir.
So...
You have Duke Dexter in and out of Marineville before...
Duke's coming to Marineville to put on a show. And the news has got out. Yeah, the Marineville Observer. I noticed that there's a hand covering a part of the, I don't know, some goings-on in Slough.
My great cunning.
And more great comedy here.
All the experience I have gained working as a surface agent... I have discovered that Duke Dexter is coming to Marineville.
Excellent! Excellent! How did you find out?
Well, I read it in the newspaper.
Brilliant! So, Duke Dexter is coming to Marineville. Who is Duke Dexter?
And it's a great way to use these characters. I think, firstly, I like the humour here that...
A secret measure.
You get the impression Titan doesn't know as much about what's going on the surface world as X-20 clearly does, having, you know, lived there.
I want Duke Dexter here, in Titanica.
But what they end up doing, hatching this plan, they just know that this guy is important. They don't know why, but they must have him. It's very in keeping with the characters. For once, you've got humour in Stingray, which isn't really sending up the characters.
Main gate requesting extra men.
They're thoroughly...
Double strength now, sir.
The characters are playing it totally straight. Even the aliens, I think that's what makes it work.
Ridiculous. Marineville surrounded.
Well, Duke, as your manager, I know you're crazy about this Marineville show.
That's right, Sandy. I just want to help out with this... recruiting drive for the WASPs.
It's interesting as well. He's there to help with the WASP recruiting drive.
The Marineville, isn't he, Atlanta?
Today.
I think if you actually went through Stingray episodes, you could probably only come up with like 10 WASP personnel throughout the whole course of the series. So, yes, I think they need all the help they can get here. Maybe they could build some more ships afterwards as well, aside from the just one. And here's X-20 in makeup, wearing a badge saying, I love Duke.
Okay, that's near enough, mister.
Here's my pass, Sergeant.
Oh, Mr. Gibson. Yes, sir, we're expecting you.
Say.
And here's the security guard. This guy was a common fixture of...
Well, that guy over there told me...
The latter half of the series, I think. But he also changed his voice, even though he was always the security guard, often seen at the main gate. Often change the voice.
Stay right where you are, mister.
There's no need for that attitude, Sergeant. I am X of Special Security. Here's my pass.
Which I'll show you for a few seconds, or less than a second, and then pull it away.
Get him back, Sergeant. Be on guard. I'm off to see the commander.
And I love X-20's total, unrestricted access to Marineville.
To the gates! They're coming back!
Which we saw in multiple episodes. It's so silly, but it's just lovely to see him walk right through the main gate as if he just owns the place.
Aren't you the guy I saw?
I am X of Special Security, Mr. Gibson. You're to make no move until I give you to say so.
Well, sure, but this is a bit unusual.
A visit from Duke Dexter is unusual.
It's just that badge. It's not even I love Duke. It's I like Duke. He's studied... how a pop fan would look and the things they might do, but he hasn't quite got it. And that's beautiful. It's, you know, he's not of this world, so it makes sense for him to not quite get what any of this is about.
The people that know I'm around are better. If anybody wants to know, tell them I'm your assistant. Now, about Commander Shaw, this is what I suggest you do.
You want to see my identity papers?
This is fun as well. That X-20 puts the idea in what's this guy's name? Sandy? His manager, Duke's manager's head, that we have to have maximum security. And Shaw has just given up by this point. And I remember this episode, it kind of feels like a series finale to me. And it only feels that way because when I first saw the show, you all know where I first saw the show, it was on the BBC repeats in the early 90s, in the Friday night slot, this was the final episode they showed.
We need a decoy.
They still had about a dozen left, but they just stopped at this point on the Friday night showings. And then much later, they showed the remaining episodes on Sundays. And I wasn't aware that they were being shown on Sundays until they were almost all gone.
Little job he's got.
So it really felt like this was the last episode. Which, of course, it wasn't, thankfully. And here's poor old Troy being pressed into service. It's a beautifully terrible shot of Troy running, in inverted commas, away from the fans in front of the back projection screen, again of the streets of Marineville. While Duke is brought in by helicopter, landing on a helipad which seems to be in front of the old Black Rock Laboratory. Shortly before it was destroyed for the opening titles of Thunderbirds.
Should be coming through the main gate any minute now and creating the diversion.
Diversion. Oh, I love this shot of Troy. It's just so... it doesn't work at all. It's brilliantly terrible.
Captain Tempest is being mobbed. Hey, keep out of here. Watch out!
I also love that you have Don Mason reporting that Troy is under attack in a voice that's very similar to Troy.
Enjoy the trip.
That's great.
Almost as if Troy has grabbed a microphone and is referring to himself as Troy Tempest. There he is.
Hey, I always thought fans liked their idol.
Well, he's picked up kisses from at least three girls. Ordinarily, Troy wouldn't object to that, but...
You're safe. Yeah. Great. At least we know nothing can go wrong in Marineville.
Uh-oh, he said it. Yes, Marineville is surrounded by screaming girls, and it's all going to plan for X-20. And I do find as I get older that episodes like this I do appreciate more, because when I think of humour in Stingray, I kind of think it leans more towards the sort of wah, wah, and the talking fish and just
anything, Mr. Gibson.
End of episode comedy lines that aren't really that funny. I as you probably know, I appreciate the humour that started to creep in with Joe 90 and the Secret Service, and definitely with Terrorhawks, which I guess is all, you know, to a large extent, Tony Barwick. I really like that level of humour. So it's great when you get earlier episodes,
well,
pre-Barwick,
like Duke and Time,
that
I'll go and finish up.
Just capture that spirit of comedy that doesn't reduce the characters or reduce the show to a joke. This is all played dead serious. Stingray has just abandoned Duke on the island of Lamoy. Again, nobody questions why so many people with the voice of Peter Lorre operate out of this house on Lamoy.
Ding! Isn't Stingray a beaut? I'd give anything to have a crate like that myself.
Yes, they've left him
Dexter.
On the island for maximum security. The fans can't get him there.
Now, I've had a meal prepared. He must be hungry.
Yeah. You can say that again.
Oh, it's a slice of bread, some orange juice, and the fruit bowl. Ah, orange juice that looks a bit cloudy. The music says it's a bit suspicious. And here's a random element in the story that is a bit surprising.
Opening ocean door.
Hey, what's happened? Well, what is it?
Stingray just breaks down. And I can't think of many, outside of Space 1999, obviously the multiple Eagle crashes, you don't get many episodes where the star vehicle just breaks. Unless it's been sabotaged or it's been forced to crash or something.
Oh, we're in trouble.
You always think, oh, XL5 and Supercar and Stingray. It's like, you know, nothing can take them down, and here it's just broken of its own accord.
Taking you on a little sea trip. My plan worked better than I dared hope.
There's a fault.
I love how surprised he sounds. He actually did something right for once.
Look, could we have some quiet, you guys? I can't hear what the TV producer's saying.
Oh.
You know what these radio phones are like?
Oh, yeah, it's a radio phone. It's a regular phone with a very crude radio transmitter sort of glued to it.
About it. Bye.
Quite a bulky prop.
Hey, hold it another couple of minutes. Hey, you guys, I gotta make another call.
Oh, please go right ahead. Don't let us get in your way.
Oh, it's okay. You can stick around.
Again, it's just that's a great example. The characters are being very true to themselves. Shaw is irate that this guy has come in and just taken over, and was it Sandy? I'm having trouble remembering the name there. He's just oblivious to anything except Duke. But of course, he can't get through to Lemoy, because there is no one on Lemoy. X-20, still in his Duke fanboy disguise, has captured our wonderful pop star.
No answer. Something must have happened.
Check the line.
Yeah, I checked. And now I want immediate action.
Okay, okay. Phones?
Yes, sir?
Will that circuit hold up long enough to get Stingray to Lemoy?
Well, it'll take us that far, but not out to open sea.
That's all I wanted to know. Stand by to launch Stingray.
Again, because they have no other ships, they have to send out this ship that, at the moment, is proving a bit unreliable. They do have helicopters. But hey-ho, we've got to get some use out of the title vehicle this week. It's not going to be used for much else otherwise in a story about pop stars.
We've had some crazy situations, but this one beats them all.
It's crazy, all right. But have you thought about what would happen to me if anything did happen to Duke Dexter?
Why, no. What would happen? Oh, it's a gorgeous shot of Stingray moored next to the island.
The place is empty.
But Duke! What's happened to Duke?
I just noticed the fruit in the fruit bowl. It actually looks quite mouldy now. Again, nobody questions all the mysterious goings-on in Lemoy. I love it. It's just so lovely. And I love that X-20 is actually getting away with it for once.
In approximately 1 hour with Duke Dexter.
Oh. And I'm looking at the Duke puppet there and wondering...
In one unidentified craft in the area, sir.
...if he's modelled on any specific pop star.
Order Stingray to...
I got the impression that there's a bit of Tom Jones in the face and also in the leg movements when he was dancing earlier.
Stingray from tower. Intercept unidentified craft at south-southwest 1100, reference 8.
I love that Sandy keeps checking his watch. We've got to get back in time for the show. There it is again.
Approach with caution. Duke Dexter could be on board.
And I think they just played there the old Star Trek card of Stingray's the only ship in the area. Stingray's the only ship, period. That's why I love in the TV-21 comics. As much as I love the show, I love in the comics, they were able to build up the Wasps a bit more. They had that wonderful carrier, the Sea Leopard, which I would have loved to have seen on the show. But obviously Stingray is awesome. And we only have so many puppets to man so many vehicles. It's not much of a chase scene here, though, because I think this all is all pieced together from stock footage. The model shots, anyway. Puppet footage, everyone's just looking a bit nervous.
It was an in on it fast.
Yeah. Stock footage. Ooh.
This agent X-20 to Titanica, approaching you from the south.
That's a very cool shot, though, of X-20 sub passing that outer, I don't know what it is, a sort of security checkpoint outside Titanica. Sometimes there was a close-up shot of it. It almost looks like a fish. Very nice building. I'm not sure if that was stock footage or if that was made for the show, this episode specifically, I mean.
Completely.
But now Stingray is thoroughly knackered. And again, I love this shot of it sinking with the real fish in front of it. It's quite a close shot, and the fish are, well, they're a bit panicked by this, as well they might be. Also love the puppets wiggling the controls around as if that's going to do anything. They can barely see for all the smoke that's on that set now. And here we go. X-20 has succeeded. Duke Dexter is in Titanica.
Well, Surface Agent X-20, wait outside. I will question the prisoner.
You have earned a sticker. A well-done sticker.
You and I are going to have a little talk.
Oh, and I love as well that we get so close to the end of the episode before we get back to Titan and what he thinks is actually going on. Because as we discover in a moment, he doesn't really know, and he has a private conversation with Duke just to figure out, who are you? Why are you important?
I understand, sir.
I never thought when that pop idol arrived here that my whole career would depend on him. A very interesting story.
Yeah, but Well, I
also love that Duke seems completely clueless about everything, so he's particularly out of his depth here.
It is true, isn't it, that whenever you stand up in front of people, they scream at you?
Yeah, I guess so.
And it is true, is it not, that if you are seen walking down the street, people chase you and attack you and tear every piece of clothing from your back?
It's brilliant.
Excellent.
It's one of my favorite bits of Stingray, this.
Terranians, I couldn't do better myself. Keep up the good work. You are on our side.
After all that, he just brings him down to give him a pat on the back and say, well done.
Octopus juice.
Because he doesn't understand. He can't understand.
My special guest, Mr. Dexter.
He can only go by what he's observed with his own eyes.
I shall return.
And try to filter it through his own worldview. It's so brilliant. It's such a fantastic way to use these characters.
Next to zero. But one thing is certain. This Duke Dexter is on our side.
And it's lovely to see Titan respond to someone so positively, be so welcoming to them.
He is. I have ordered him to drink our special potion that will drug him until you return him back to the Terranians.
And he genuinely thinks this guy is not only an ally, he probably thinks he's a friend. He's like a kindred spirit.
Well, I'm glad you made it back.
Oh, I love it. That's one of my favourite moments of the whole series, is Titan's response to Duke Dexter. Just magical stuff.
I got your message that Duke Dexter had been found back at Lamoy. Sure was a relief.
Well, Dexter came up with some fantastic story about being captured under the sea.
So I just put it down to a drug-fueled bender. These pop stars go on those, you know.
Well, I guess the whole thing was a publicity stunt. Probably all part of the setup.
Again, brilliant. A brilliant way to explain it within the story.
Big show tonight.
It's such an outlandish concept, and yet every single step of it, with the possible exception of Stingray breaking down, which is just to sort of sideline them for a bit, it all works, it all fits the established world of the show. And here we are. I think I spot Professor Matic in the audience here. Yeah, that's him all right. And again, it's obvious we've only got so many puppets, and we've only got so many puppeteers. So some of the puppets in the background look a bit dead. Also lots of screaming girls in the audience, despite the fact that most of the audience are male military officers in uniforms. The only women I see are Atlanta and Marina, and obviously a Marina's not screaming, neither is Atlanta, but the Aquaphibians are dancing to it, or bobbing up and down to it. This is a great cap, again, to the wonderful Titan side of this story, is that they watch the show and they genuinely enjoy the music. Not just, you know, Titan does it and maybe the others go along with it. Titan, X-2-0, and those two Aquaphibians, they're all like, yes, this is good, I just...
Excellent!
Oh, God. It's beautiful.
X-2-0, they are in a state of frenzy. He's driving them mad. What a wonderful weapon he is for us. If he keeps this up, they will be ready to be conquered in no time at all. Success at last.
It's brilliant. It's lovely to see these guys feeling like they've achieved something. We're not ending the episode with, oh, Stingray has defeated us yet again. It's like, no, we've actually succeeded. Hooray for us. It's such a positive moment. It's such a positive ending all round. So there we go. That was Titan Goes Pop. It's just a lovely story. It's a lovely story. I'm just watching the Marina credit, the Marina song play out here, and it's, you know, getting to this point in the show where she's not really a part of the show every week anymore. So it's almost a bit strange seeing her on the end of this story, but oh my goodness, what a fantastic story. Again, such a simple idea that someone must have just read in the paper and thought, aha, we can do a Stingray story with this. And it's one of the greatest that they ever did. And I think genuinely one of the the most successful comedic stories in the Anderson universe, possibly the most, because it doesn't undermine the characters. It doesn't do that thing that some shows do where we are doing a comedy episode and this means we're going to be very silly. No, you have a very outlandish idea. Play it dead straight. Filter the idea of filtering a 1960s pop star, and how does that look to a race of underwater creatures who have no concept of anything like that? And the results are just some of the most amusing and entertaining moments in this whole show. So, yeah. Two thumbs up here for Titan Goes Pop with Stingray. It's it really is something to shout about. You see what I did there? Oh, never mind.